This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shah on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sharp Money, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. I hope you had a nice Thanksgiving with the family. How about spending some time with your Sharp Money family? I'm Patrick Maher as we welcome you in live from Los Angeles. Donkey Donk, the big guy, Dustin Sweetelson hanging out. All black, Johnny Cash, downtown Las Vegas at the D-Bar Canada where he flirts with all the bartenders and waitresses. Again, Black Friday, go to VSIN.com/subscribe as we are brought to you by DraftKings here on Sharp Money, but go to VSIN.com/subscribe. I think today is going to be the last of it. Today is the last day you can get everything we offer for $60. And speaking of Black Friday, I hope your betting accounts are in the black from yesterday as we open anew here on a Friday. Bob Wojnarowski, one of my heroes. He writes for the Detroit News for, 30 years now. Radio host in Detroit. We're going to talk about what happened at Ford Field yesterday, and that was purposeful, and we're going to get into, he's a Michigan grad, we're going to get into the game, Ann Arbor. Your boy Harbaugh is not going to be on the sideline, but I can assure you of this, Michigan, who I don't even like, okay, this Michigan football team's annoying, but they are absolutely going to boat race Ohio State. They're overrated. We'll get to Bob Wojnarowski coming up in just a little bit. Josh Applebaum, that's my guy, VSIN betting analysts, one of our colleagues here. He's going to join. Will Hill will join, of course, a colleague as well. And Mike Randall, we're going to run the board as we do here on Sharp Money on Fridays. This is important, so let me get you caught up on what's happening right now. It's a smorgasbord. It's freaking fantastic right now. You've got college football all over the place. We've got two. Willie Fritz is doing a hell of a job. I think that's the highest ranked group of five team right now, with Tulane kicking off in about 28 minutes. Now, speaking of a kickoff, we're about to kick off here at MetLife, that antiseptic, just absolute dumpster there in Jersey where the Jets rent from the Giants. Miami, your boy Tua in town. This number close, I'll bring the big guy in for this. Very important because your boy Timothy Boyle is going to be starting. I think DraftKings had Boyle at probably around 30 and a half attempts and somewhere between 16 and 18 completions. Now, the game closed anywhere between 9 and 10 and 40 on the total. Did you happen to see where DraftKings ended up closing here? I know a lot of our friends over there, you can join our social group on the DraftKings app. Bets giving as it continues with heated competition. Nobody takes it more seriously than the big guy. His name is Dustin Sweetelson, and he joins us for the first time on the program. Where'd we close at DraftKings on this game about the kickoff in just about 10 seconds? I saw Kirk Herbstreit and Al Michaels introduce themselves to each other for the first time before the game started with the broadcast on Amazon, which they paid a cool. Now, pay attention here, big guy. Amazon paid $100 million, not for 10 years of Black Friday broadcast. They paid $100 million for this game. They paid $100 million to broadcast Timothy Boyle. Where'd it close? We're showing nine and a half. What's up?
It's nine. It closed at nine, 82% of the money on 78% of the bets on Miami. And I saw some crazy props where the juice on Tim Boyle's interceptions to throw an interception was heavily juiced to a big old favorite. I'll get the exact numbers, but it's going to be ugly. It's going to be brutal. Will it be worth $100 million?
How do you know?
We will find out. Because it's Tim Boyle. That's why.
I got the game on right here, just in case y'all are wanting. Hey, you know what? Do us a favor. If you're on YouTube TV, you're watching us online, turn the volume down on the game like we are doing and turn us up. We're going to hang out for 3 hours. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to throw cash. We're going to live wager with you right here on Sharp Money. Now, a couple things. I got bets on this game, and then I'm going to kick you out because I've got some splaining to do as to what transpired on Thanksgiving. I assure you, I'm too old to be right. okay, to want to be right. The ego is not there at this point in my life. I'm a 45-year-old washed-up man. But when I say I told you so, oh my gosh, do I have a huge, huge spoonful of I told you so coming up when it comes to the Little Lions. Quickly, I went Mostert over 14 receiving yards. Let's lock it up, cash it already. That's going to hit. Why are you pumping your fist?
I like Mostert props today. I'm on over attempts on him, so we're somewhat simpatico there.
Okay, simpatico indeed. I actually, you know what? I regret this, but I had to get a bet in for our competition here at VSiN and DraftKings for Betsgiving. I went over on Breece Hall's rushing yards, which I don't love the bet, obviously, because they're going to be playing from behind for the most part, you would assume. I think it was like 49 and a half. I did go over, and I do regret it. We shall see as it plays out.
I don't know. Look, they got the ball first. It's not like Miami's defense is great, so he's going to have to be involved. So we're kind of similar minds on this one as well. I went Hall over 3.5 receptions. I just don't see any way he's not heavily involved in this attack, simply because I don't think Tim Boyle can stretch the field. I mean, he might
be able
to. I
like your bet better.
He might be able to. I really
like your bet. Safe, kind of dump downs, check downs, swing it out. I do like the play on receptions for the Jets running back. So we're just getting started. As Dustin just mentioned, the Jets received the ball to start off here. So we're just getting going, showing Nathaniel Hackett and, of course, Timothy Boyle making his first start. Again, if you're just thinking big picture on this game, I didn't really... You know, it's interesting, and we're going to get to Thanksgiving and kind of take what we can as bettors moving forward. There's always lessons. I like to say, when it comes to sports betting, and maybe other aspects of life as well, frankly, but when it comes to sports betting, you should always keep a journal. Like, you should keep a log. Don't just let the apps do it for you. There's something about writing things down, textile. Like, there's something to that, but you should also get yourself a book. I don't care if it's a 3-ring binder or just, like, you know, a little journal, and you should be writing down and taking little notes on maybe some of your tendencies. Oftentimes we get caught in traps, and as you write down your bets, you can kind of see, okay, I'm betting too many overs here. Okay, I find myself laying too much here. And then as you write your notes down, you can pick up on things. And I think you pick up more from the losses. Frankly, it's an interesting experiment, and I think you'll find it, because some of the losses will point to your tendencies as a sports bettor. So, you know what? Write your bets down today as we open it up. I just thought laying of 9.5 with Miami on the road, where, you know, there really isn't, again, home field advantage isn't what it used to be. It's been mitigated, but the Miami Dolphins are just a different team at home, specifically on offense, as they are on the road. That is factual, big guys. I don't think that it almost doubles at a couple of shops. I don't think that's a respectable. I don't think it's a price you should be laying, is the quickest way to put it.
Yeah, I'm going to hit you with a little spin zone. I lost first half laying it with the Lions yesterday. I lost first half last weekend with the Dolphins against the Raiders and the Niners as well. Yet I've come back to the Dolphins in the first half today. So maybe I should be writing these down. Either I'm due or I'm going to be wrong again for a fourth time.
Oh, the due theory, which is a very reliable scientific theory when it comes to sports betting. The due theory is this hasn't happened for a while, so I might as well just do it because I'm due.
I'm on an over three.
That's what
run.
It is. Well, you're going to get the ball because it looks like it must have been a 3-and-out for Timothy and the Jets.
He's pretty bad, man. He missed a wide open screen to a tight end, like threw it way over his head. Like there's a reason this guy's been a backup for a very long time.
Well, we start here, and I think it's important to dip back to yesterday and go over what transpired. Why don't we start with the late game, and then we'll come back and work our way back. Of course, San Francisco, Brock Purdy, and we should have a conversation throughout the three-hour program here about MVP. We'll get the odds updated, and also Coach of the Year, so we'll do that. San Francisco at Seattle. This one wasn't close from the jump. Ends up closing 7 over at DraftKings, 43 on the total. We just cleared that total. 31-13, San Francisco was in in cruise control. It's looking and shaping up to be a dangerous team. Completely loaded offensively. We can get more into this coming up in just a little bit. Loaded offensively and just a dominant defense. They are really, really, really good. And 31-13, Brock Purdy right now is running that system and being puppeteered by Shanahan to perfection. It's a thing of beauty as San Francisco rolls in the nightcap. A sandwich game. Now, Jack Del Rio, if you're just joining us here on Sharp Money, has been fired, which is important to note because I told you last week that Ron Rivera ain't going anywhere. The perfect scenario for the new ownership group there in D.C. with Josh Harris and, of course, Magic Johnson. And I do have Magic's tweet, just the facts. Ted Koppel would absolutely be blown away by this one. Magic Johnson, after the game yesterday where Dallas beat up on the Commanders 45-10, said, quote, on Twitter, the Dallas Cowboys beat my Commanders 45-10. Dallas was a better football team tonight, plain and simple. Little adage you should know, ask no questions and I'll tell no lies. I ask you, Dustin Sweetelson, where did Magic lie? The Dallas Cowboys did indeed beat his Commanders 45-10, and Dallas, plain and simple, was the better football team. Magic gets crushed for shtick, but he ain't lying. That's just the facts. JTF.
Yeah, Dallas was indeed the better team. I can't argue with anything he said. You are absolutely correct. Magic Johnson, once again, spitting 100% truth.
Mm-hmm. Dallas 13, close 13, easily cover. So again, and this is why I always caution you when it comes to teasing. America's tease started with the Detroit Lions. We'll get to you in just a second. But also, if you're thinking about teasing Dallas, you're thinking about teasing San Francisco, you easily covered the 13 with the Dallas Cowboys, and you easily covered the 7 with San Francisco. Why would you put yourself in harm's way? Okay, now, it's interesting. I'm just taking a look here, and I started at the nightcap, and now we come back to the 12:30 kick Pacific time, and that was Green Bay, who was banged up, had nothing to play for. They went to Ford Field, and I have a misprint because it says here Green Bay beat the Lions, who were 8-2 going into that contest, 29-22. I'm confused. I'll clear it up and come back and explain. Sharp Money. Happy holidays. Happy Black Friday.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Total Wine, spirits, beer, and more. The lowest prices for over 30 years. You find what you love and love what you find at Total Wine. Please drink responsibly. You must be 21 years or older. As we welcome you back, hope you had a nice Thanksgiving. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles, the big guy, downtown Las Vegas, there, Fremont Street, at our studio setup, Bar Canada, the D, Dustin Sweetelson, the big guy, Bob Wojnarowski is going to join. Coming up in about 29 minutes, he of the Detroit News, a Michigan grad, and frankly, one of the best to do it in Michigan. We'll talk about what happened at Ford Field yesterday and then look to tomorrow as the game between Michigan and Ohio State is going to be played in Ann Arbor. We were sitting 3.5. Remember, that has been an absolute roller coaster as far as a number because we got all the way up to 6, dipped down to 3, and was sitting 3.5 the last time I checked. So Bob Wojnarowski, Detroit News, to join in just a bit. Josh Applebaum, as he does, is going to join. And Mike Brandel, we've got plenty to do as we open up the program. But I always like to look behind to then forecast and try to figure out what we learned from potentially losing bets. And a lot of these guarantees, a lot of casinos have been built off of guarantees. You know what I'm saying? Like yesterday, when everybody's teasing the Detroit Lions, who ended up closing 8.5, as high as 9 at a couple of shops, when that number was sitting frozen at 7.5 forever, it got bet up because of hype. It got bet up because of perception. As a sports bettor, the one thing you're going to have to do is learn to think differently. I mean this. And I understand the reason that we have our VSiN splits and the reason we want to let you know where the money is going, the reason we want to have a preponderance go one way and you go the other way is because of those casinos that are getting bet. It's because most sports bettors are going to be long-term losers. And you have to do things differently. You have to take the points. You have to go unders. That's it. I know it's hard to do, and I know it goes against your instincts, but oftentimes you have to. Now, what else happens? Perception. Perception starts to rule the news cycle and also starts to rule your brain. You start reading all this stuff about Dan Campbell. You start reading all this stuff about the Detroit Lions, and you think they're legit. And again, I'm not here to say I told you so. Again, just the ego isn't there. I'm not interested, and I want to be proven wrong about the Detroit Lions. But I sat here and told you there were a lot of reasons to start to be concerned about an 8-2 Lions team who everybody, because of their record, because Bill Parcells one day said, "You are what your record says you are," all of a sudden people start thinking the Detroit Lions are legit. But I said, hold on a second now. They're legit, yet they went to Baltimore and gave up over 500 yards and absolutely got outclassed. They're legit, yet they went to Los Angeles against a terribly coached Charger team and needed a walk-off field goal. They're legit, yet against the Bears, they trailed for 3.5 quarters, and Justin Fields just came back and ran up over 350 yards. And they're legit, except yesterday, it got bet up to 8.5 with the Detroit Lions laying it. Everything was there for them. Like your Thanksgiving, right? You had some good food. You had some drinks. You were hanging out with your family. And you know what the Detroit Lions served up over at Ford Field? Some dry ass turkey, some lumpy mashed potatoes, some cornbread that tasted like chalk. Just absolutely a green bean casserole of disgustingness. And I'll tell you something else. The idea that Dan Campbell is your leader in the clubhouse right now over at DraftKings to win coach of the year has nothing to do with the season and has everything to do with preseason hype. Let's talk about this game. This game was so predictable if you had been following the team. And here's a very, and I was happy that everybody, that's 7 straight losses, by the way, on Thanksgiving for the Detroit Lions. And they were embarrassed. They were humiliated against a depleted Packer team that came into this matchup 4-6. Jordan Love, the questions about Jordan Love and what was he? I'll tell you what he was. He was Bart Starr. He was Brett Favre. He was the Magic Man, Don Majakowski. He was Aaron Rodgers yesterday. I mean, he was significantly better than Jared Goff. And here's a fun game you can play at your next family get together. Ask somebody that thinks they know football what they think about Jared Goff. And if they think Jared Goff is a good quarterback, just laugh and walk away. Jared Goff is pitiful. And you saw it on display yesterday at Ford Field. This is a team right now that has hopes of winning a division. A very easy schedule and a big time cushion, but they got 2 games left with the Minnesota Vikings. And it's a team that was down 23-6 before Aunt Shelley walked through that door for Thanksgiving with her pumpkin pie. I mean, you couldn't even turn around and the Lions were absolutely getting pummeled. And there's your coach of the year on the sideline, Dan Campbell, Mr. Kneecap, Mr. Caffeine, looking like he was going to cry. And let me ask you another question. When the Detroit Lions attempted that fake punt, was it a 99% chance they were going to attempt it? Was it a 100% chance? If you were sitting there on Thanksgiving wondering if Dan Campbell, in the most obvious moment in the history of football, was going to attempt a fake there, you were 1,000% right, because everybody knew it was coming, including the Green Bay Packers. So obvious. Passing up points, Dan Campbell. Sloppy, disjointed Lions team. Jared Goff hanging around the box score busters. He lost 3 fumbles in that game, looked completely soft, looked completely out of it. The Green Bay Packers constantly pressured him. And that brings us to the Detroit Lions and their defense. They didn't pressure Jordan Love once. They didn't do anything defensively. No sacks, no nothing. How is it even possible to be for years laughed at on Thanksgiving, to kick off the holiday at 8-2, to have a battered, absolutely disjointed and disgusted Packer team coming to your crib, and Matt LaFleur, who people joke about, Michael Lombardi clowns him all the time, absolutely ran circles around the big bad coach of the year. That was about as disheartening as it gets. And I've been watching this team my whole entire life. But there was reasons to understand this was coming. There was reasons to believe the Detroit Lions were hanging on by a thread. I just told you, Baltimore to Los Angeles to Chicago and now to Green Bay. If you do the math and add it up, the Detroit Lions now have been dominated at home in back-to-back weeks for 7.5 quarters by the Chicago Bears and the Green Bay Packers. Two teams that are well below 500. And you want to talk about Super Bowls? Just because you sit up and you've got to pick one of the 32 to seem cool before the season starts? Just because you're over on whatever good afternoon football is or hanging out pretending to know what you're talking about when it comes to the Detroit Lions? Have you looked at the defense? Do you understand the tendencies of the head coach? You know, I have a brother-in-law. His name's Jason. He's a musician, which God bless, because I don't need another donk to talk about sports with. But he's from Los Angeles. And he called me on his walk yesterday. He said, dude, my sister and him just moved back to Michigan, and he's trying to get into the culture. And he said, dude, I'm so fired up. He said, did you see the end of that Bears game? This Detroit team is sick. This Detroit team is legit. And I just wanted to pat him on the head. Oh, Jason, brother-in-law, just enjoy the game today. He's like, why are you being sarcastic? I'm like, Jason, just wait. I assure you. He's like, no, dude, they're 8-2. Again, he doesn't know. He's a musician. He literally plays the guitar. He doesn't know anything about sports. He's like, they're 8-2. Everywhere I go in Michigan, all the people are talking about is how great this team is. It's the first time since 1957 there's ever been any hope. He called me after the game, and he said, what in the F was that? And I said, Jason, welcome to Michigan. Welcome to Detroit. Detroit versus everybody, including themselves. Coach of the year? Let me ask you a question. Did you feel inspired? Did you feel confident when they showed Dan Campbell on the sideline? Did you like the idea that he passed up on the easy three? Did you like it when he went forward on fourth down and was chasing? Did you like the fake punt? Or did it seem like the fragrance, the odor of desperation? You can look tough. You can sound tough. But if you act foolish, desperate, and undisciplined, eventually you're going to get figured out. And the Green Bay Packers, again, so injured, so battered, absolutely pummeled the Detroit Lions to the point where 29-22, that is also an odor that stinks because that game was never that close. It's frustrating. And I'll tell you, it's just frustrating that 7 straight losses on Thanksgiving. And how is it possible to not have your team prepared? Please tell me where the coach of the year comes into this conversation when we're talking about Dan Campbell. As Dustin calls him, Donk Campbell. I wouldn't say that because that dude could rip my head off with his bare hands. Or could he? Because his little Lions yesterday laid down and the Packers pet their bellies. Let's bet some college football next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Hey, can we get a sugar-free Red Bull to the broadcast booth at MetLife for Al Michaels, like, stat? Because this game is a pile, okay? It's zippy-zippy right now. Miami at the Jets. About 4:57 to play in the first quarter. We'll keep you updated. I told you at the start, $60, unlimited access until May 1st. People, it's going to go away. And then you're going to be wishing that you would have bought the Black Friday special. Subscriber, become part of the family. Okay, we want you involved. And I'll tell you what I'll do. If you go sign up right now, vsin.com/subscribe, and we can tell in real time if we're getting subs. If you sign up, I've got two college basketball plays from Thomas Gable, race and sportsbook director over at the Borgata. If we get five signups within 45 minutes, and Dustin gets an email when we get a signup. If we get five, that's it. I'll give you the two plays for free, which will make up the $60 that you're going to pay for access through March Madness, through the Super Bowl and college football. You go ahead and wipe the smirk off your face, okay? Because I'm over here pushing subs. Patrick Maher, Dustin Sweetelson. We've got college football. You're going to hear from Dan Campbell and Matt LaFleur coming up in just about 10 minutes. Bob Wojanowski is going to join a little post, I guess, clean up the mess that was left by Jack Harlow and Jared Goff at Ford Field yesterday. Hey, Jack, all right? Do me a favor. Stop embarrassing the Lions even more by that halftime performance. Bro, are you on Valium? Like, pick it up a little bit. You got Shorty, Dolly Parton over here. She's 97 years old. She's twerking all over like she's Megan Thee Stallion. I want a college football play, and then I've got more on the Lions as we look ahead. Take a look at their schedule. I see a couple of inefficiencies, as they say. What do you got for us?
Let's roll with later tonight, where Texas is hosting Texas Tech. Two touchdowns for the Red Raiders. I know they've disappointed us. This show is very high on this squad heading into the year, but they've won three straight, Patrick, since they got their quarterback Morton back, and their running back Taj Brooks is having one of the best seasons in college football at almost 123 yards per game on the ground. Texas is bad versus the pass. And I think that means Morton could have some opportunities to move the ball. And I think in the end, two touchdowns against Texas Tech, who beat them last year in Lubbock, it's way too many points. I don't think Ewers is all the way back for Texas at quarterback. I like the Red Raiders getting two touchdowns here.
I like the play. Take it with Texas Tech with the big guy. We've got a game, UTSA, Tulane. I mentioned Tulane is your highest ranked group team. We don't have a Cincinnati this year. However, I think it's going to be a shootout. UTSA, who you love, the quarterback, you love this team.
Frank Harris.
They're averaging, 41 points per play in AAC play. I think this UTSA-Tulane game is going to turn into an absolute shootout today. You can play it up to 52. We got 52.5. I'm seeing a 52 in the market as well. Shootout. Willie Fritz, what's up? Tulane, UTSA over, big guy.
That does feel really, that number is extremely lower than I thought it was. I thought this was going to be at least in the 60s. I agree. Shootout feels absolutely right. Two good offenses, and UTSA is going to run it up. Frank Harris, this could be his last regular season game as quarterback of the Roadrunners. He's had like a 7-year career, almost lost his leg in the offseason, so it took him a few games to get going, but he's got 11 total touchdowns, one interception over his last four games. I mean, they move the ball, 429 yards per game, 254 through the air, 174 on the ground. UTSA is an elite offense. I think it's going to be a fun one.
It's good job by you, big guy. We mentioned Dolly Parton halftime there with the Commanders and Cowboys. Dolly Parton's a great American. And have you ever been to Dolly Land, which
Dolly
is
World.
What she owns? Dolly World, I believe it's called. Well, she's got two flags flying at Dolly World. She's a big American, so she's got the American flag. You know what else she's got flying at Dolly World? The freak flag. Because Dolly likes to get loose. You feel me? What was she doing? I had to cover my eyes. You know what? I was getting embarrassed.
I don't know exactly.
I was getting a little flush.
Yeah, I don't know exactly where Dolly World is, but I'm going to assume it's in the mountains, if you know what I mean.
That's not bad. All right. We've got Bob Wojanowski. He'll have a play on Michigan, Ohio State, as we do have a field goal. I want to start attacking this game in game. Miami, not necessarily moving the football either. That's a top as far as DVOA. That's a top five defense there with the Jets. A 3-0 as they kick a field goal with a minute 26 to play in the first. Let's start
real quick. For bets giving purposes, you know, we don't normally get this DraftKings menu, this contest we're doing among the hosts here and shows. I messed around with a Miami win the first half in a shutout plus 475. I got to tell you, I'm feeling kind of good about it.
Oh, I've got to tell you something. VSiN Daily, which is free, VSiN.com, enter your email address. Bill AD likes to send it out there and set up your betting menu for the day. I woke up, I rubbed the cold out my eyes, and I saw the name Patrick Maher and said, guess who's first in bets giving? Least surprising news of the day. All right? Least surprising news of the day. Also, not overly surprising, Dan Campbell getting outwitted by Matt LaFleur. Let's get into some of this sound. I'm concerned about my Detroit Lions at 8-3. I think there's a good possibility. I want three things from you right now over at DraftKings. I want the NFC North number. I want Coach of the Year numbers.
Okay. I don't want to trigger you. I don't want to trigger you. I meant to actually bring it up in the break because I don't want you to lose your mind on the air. It makes me uncomfortable when you get really angry. But even after yesterday's performance, Dan Campbell for Coach of the Year, he's no longer plus 250, which he was going into the game, or 230 going into the game. Somehow coming out of that, Dan Campbell is plus 125 for Coach of the Year.
Oh, he shortened up.
He shortened up somehow.
That's
not
perfect.
Totally sure how.
Why would I be mad about that? He deserves it. You didn't see the performance yesterday? You didn't see passing points? You didn't see going for it on fourth in your own territory? You didn't see the fake punt? Again, when you're faking a punt that pretty much the whole entire audience knows you're about to fake a punt, you can assume good probability the other team has a feeling as well. That fake punt was Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell was telling his team it's all right when they were coming off the field. It's all right because you put them in that position. Anywho, Dan Campbell is shortened up. This is not what's about merit. Okay, I'm not telling you that Dan Campbell's the coach of the year. I'm just telling you he's going to win it. So you can go over and bet it, and you can cash. What is he? Plus 125?
130.
Again,
130.
Money be green. I'm not sitting here trying to get you off of bets because of merit or whether or not he's a good coach. You know, newsflash, when his alma mater, Texas A&M, came calling and the Detroit Lions and Dan Campbell were like, whoa, we got unfinished business here with the Lions. That would have been a perfect opportunity to get up and get out from underneath that Dan Campbell contract, let him go to his alma mater and keep Ben Johnson. Okay, because Ben Johnson has made a bottom third quarterback in Jared Goff. And I'm finally glad that people that legitimately don't watch the Lions, instead of just going through the box score and looking at Jared Goff's numbers, I'm glad you got to watch that dude in real time because he is shockingly inept at the position. Shockingly inept. Here's Dan Campbell. What do you got for me?
Dan Campbell, kind of owning up to things, took the blame for yesterday's loss.
We're not all in sync, or we're not on the same page, and we have a conversion, or we don't have a conversion. We're not on the same page. Then golf has to hold it a little bit longer. Then it just everything goes hand in hand. Or if our details aren't good enough on the perimeter, it just everybody's got a hand in it. It's all of us. So, We didn't do well enough, you know? We didn't do well enough. And that's really ultimately on me, because those guys were ready to go. That team was ready to go.
Is that Marty Morningweg? Is that Steve Mariucci? Is that Bobby Ross? Is that Wayne Fonts? Is that Daryl Rogers? Because I've heard this story. I got to pause, because I realize I sound super annoying right now. Like, this isn't what I want to say. I want to be proven wrong. There were just reasons to believe this team wasn't any good going into yesterday's game. What else you got for me?
Dan Campbell also mentioned during his postgame presser about how the Lions always need to bring their A game.
Saying okay. Is, man, if you don't play, it doesn't matter who comes in here. When they play a perfect game, if we don't play our best when they're playing a perfect game, things like that will happen. That's what I'm talking about, you know. Don't assume anybody. We're the same team when last year we're 4-7. Everybody thinks you start doing things right, start getting takeaways, you don't turn it over, and all of a sudden you're a pretty formidable opponent. So, the odds of it, we go and turn the ball over three times against every opponent we have left, the odds of winning are going to be pretty slim. But I don't.
Seems like a nice dude. I like you, Dan. I really do. I think, and again, plus 125, shortened. He got absolutely boat raced as a 9-point favorite and shortened up as coach of the year odds. That's tremendous. That's perfect. Why would that put me in a bad mood? It makes me happy.
Well, I mean, history, right? You're a big history guy. You mentioned Marty Mornhinweg. It's the first time we're seeing a crack in Dan Campbell at a press conference. Feels like things are repeating themselves in the Motor City.
Marty Mornhinweg punted in overtime before they changed the rules. Ladies and gentlemen, the Detroit Lions. Bob Wojnarowski is next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, DraftKings new customers right now bet $5, get $150 in bonus bets instantly when you use the promo code SHARP, S-H-A-R-P. It's that simple, plus a no-sweat same-game parlay for everybody. DraftKings, the crown is yours. I must say, I still get giddy to talk to our next guest. He is a legend in Detroit, Bob Wojnarowski. I'm also lucky enough to call him a friend. He's one of the greatest people you're ever going to meet. Detroit News columnist, 97.1, the Ticket hosts Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern time at Bob Wojnarowski on Twitter. And as we say hi to Wojo, you know what I should do quickly? Just every time that we reconvene, we should probably give a quick shout to say, go get your colon checked out because Wojo's best friend and a friend of mine as well, yep. Jamie Samuelson, a goat, passed away a few years back. And I still think about him probably once a week. I'm sure you think about him every day, Wojo.
Yes, and the movement, so to speak, still grows, and we hear from people all the time to get the colonoscopy and get it checked early. And Patrick, you humbled me with your intro, as you always do, and you are a great friend. And by the way, happy Thanksgiving, and also Happy New Year! Woo!
Real quiet! Oh, there's so much shtick. And by the way, I just want to say this. I went as a 41-year-old man, got a colonoscopy. I actually enjoyed it. You go to sleep, woke up, nothing. There's nothing to it, people. Go get tested.
Oh, it's a hell of a time. And then you're really hungry afterwards, and it's a great meal, too. Yes. Oh, fantastic.
Food shtick. Really? I was thinking about you. Go to the Detroit News. I think you can get a special for Black Friday. And I read the article you wrote about the Lions. And you know, the first thing I thought, Wojo, is how many post-mortem Thanksgiving Day columns have you written to this point?
You know, and it was so sad, Patrick, because yesterday there I was, and you know, it's all different now. The Lions are good. They're 8-2. They had lost 6 straight Thanksgiving Day games, but not this time. They're past that. It's over with that nonsense. And halfway through that game, I'm scrolling through my computer trying to find a Thanksgiving column from 5 years ago that I can copy and paste and put back in. And I don't know what it is. I mean, you know, the Packers, they are improving. Jordan Love improving. But the Lions used to be pretty darn good on Thanksgiving. They've lost now 7 in a row. And that one, no one saw coming. And I'm not saying everybody's thinking the Lions were going to the Super Bowl or are going to the Super Bowl, but we kind of thought that sort of face plant was out of the way a little bit this year, and it popped up, and they do have some issues now going forward, even though they are 8-3.
It was humiliating, Wojo. Bob Wojnarowski joining us. It was so typical. I told my brother-in-law, he just moved from L.A. to Michigan, and he's all caught up in Honolulu blue and silver fever. And he said, no, this year it's different. He called me after the game and he said, what was that? They were never even in the game, Wojo.
No, and the things that we have touted them for. And again, I'm not like writing it all off. It happens in the NFL. But the things that we've been touting them for, they just disappeared, like Jared Goff's, like, you know, precision and pocket presence gone. That offensive line, which is supposed to be dominant. They were missing one starter and switched a couple others, but it was terrible. It was mauled. And again, I don't think this is like the start of the collapse. And I would tell you, Patrick, I don't want to mislead you as a Lions fan. I would tell you if I think it is the start of the collapse. I don't. But they got to do something with that defense. Aaron Glenn, the defensive coordinator, I don't know if they need to blitz more, maybe pick somebody off the waiver wire, the Vikings or somebody, the Giants, somebody just the Eagles left, dropped the defensive end who hadn't played much today. Maybe look at somebody like that. I don't know, but the defense overall is the biggest issue. I don't know what the offense was doing yesterday. Oy.
But it was, wow. And Jared Goff, we can talk about him in a second. Bob Wojnarowski, Detroit News, 97.1 The Ticket. Be curious to hear what fans think today there in Michigan. Daryl Rogers, Bobby Ross, Wayne Fonz, you know them all. And now it's our buddy who's in the market right now, Woj. He is your leader in the clubhouse to win Coach of the Year. He seemed dispirited. He was outcoached. His team was disjointed. What was your take on Campbell?
Yeah, oh, I agree. And I was watching him closely near the end of the game, and he usually doesn't show much emotion, you know, either post-game he does, but on the field. He ripped off his headphones and slammed them to the ground. And I think, I mean, he's actually pretty consistent about not calling out individual players and sort of defending them. He had a hard time defending Goff after that game. Because if he defends Goff, that means he's going to have to call out his offensive line because they didn't give him much time at all. But, yeah, I mean, and he admitted, as you know, coaches tend to do in those cases, that's on me. I didn't have them ready. But, boy, oh, boy, they did not have them ready. You know, and short turnaround, of course, but the other team has a short turnaround as well. But we've seen this now twice. Two complete, can I say, bed crappings? Is that allowed?
Yes, you're allowed.
This year, yeah, to Seattle, to Baltimore, 38-6, and then yesterday to the Packers, and each one was somewhat inexplicable, and they got 10 days to do some introspection, I think.
I think Jared Goff, you know, it's interesting. It seems like Campbell has warmed up to him. You can tell me, Woj, but it's almost like he wasn't all in on him. And then he started getting into that rhythm with Ben Johnson's system. But then he looked shook in that game yesterday, Goff. And I understand he was pressured, so I want to be fair, but that was not a good performance.
No, he was shook. And you're totally right about not only Campbell, but like, all Detroit Lions fans and all of Detroit, very slow to warm to Goff, you know, and they started, 0-10 or 0-8-1, whatever it was, the first year. And he still doesn't wow you with his mobility at all. He still carries the – I won't even say he carries the ball like a loaf of bread because it's more careless than that. When he is flush from the pocket, it looks like a fumble waiting to happen every single time. Now, he has gotten tons of praise, and people have come around and, he proved himself after the Rams dumped him and the Lions fans were slow to warm to him. And I'm not saying I don't think it went to his head per se, but maybe he got a little bit comfortable. Yeah, I've got this good offensive line, and now we've got two really good running backs, and I can just sit there, and this offense is always going to hum. But anytime anything broke down yesterday, he was done. I mean, the slightest pressure, he was either sacked or lost the football. And the Packers had a great game plan. They totally, totally outcoached and out-schemed the Lions, no doubt. But that was one of Goff's worst games of the year. Although I have to tell you, the previous week against the Bears, he had three turnovers as well. So it's becoming a little bit too much of a pattern, I think.
The cornbread had never been hotter going into that game. 8-2. We don't have to apologize on a national level to have the team on TV on Thanksgiving. And then that performance, it's just, Woj, it is wild. I just have 2 minutes. You are, I'd say, the most famous Michigan grad, and you've covered this team for a long time there, Detroit News. Michigan's laying 3.5 tomorrow. I got them beating and covering that number. I've got them beating Ohio State. Where are you?
Similar, but very close. I think I have it 23-17 Michigan, based totally on the quarterbacks. I think both defenses are great. I think Michigan's offensive line is a little bit better than Ohio State's, but Michigan's offensive line has been a little disappointing, a little banged up. The quarterback's McCarthy over McCord, but McCarthy is a little banged up, and they don't say really. It looks like he limps a little, maybe a knee, took a hit a couple of games ago. But he's got to be able to run around. He's got to run his read option to make the difference, and I think he will, and I think Michigan will win by six. And the handshake afterwards, we're going to miss out because Harbaugh won't be there. The Harbaugh Day handshake was going to be the greatest of all time.
Are you exhausted with the Harbaugh stuff?
Yes, yes. I'm exhausted parsing through all the narratives. True, like, oh, it's horrible. Oh, it's not that bad. Well, you don't know football. Well, I know football, and it is bad. No, it's not bad. And others did it, or others didn't do it like this. Oh, it is. No, it's Patrick. It's beyond exhausting. I after the game is over Saturday, I'm going to sleep for about 3 weeks.
That's not abnormal. Bob Wojnarowski, hey, you're the best, Wojo. You know how much this means to me. I hope you're doing well. Happy holidays. Detroit News 97.1 The Ticket there in Detroit. Thank you, Wojo.
Thank you, Patrick, and happy Thanksgiving and everything to you as well.
Okay, buddy. There he goes. Bob Wojnarowski, the GOAT. Josh Applebaum's going to join us next.